a couple of years before my husband passed away, I had talked to him about our tithing. We had done it in the past, but it had been a long time since we had. And he said, yes, I know we need to do it. So we started tithing. And God blessed that. There's no question about it. But most of you know, he was not living the way he should have lived. He wasn't here for services often. And I think God did bless it as much as he could, because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. But since he's died, and we were, even before he died, we were giving some to missions, and we sent some to BBN. So we had blessings that came from that. And we didn't go hungry by any means. But since he's passed away, and I have been able to give more of my time, and not just my time, but more of my life, I guess I should say, to the Lord. And I have given more financially as well. He has richly blessed. Soon after he passed away, I started going to the ladies' prayer time on Friday morning. And I guess it's about a year or so ago, Kathy Hoyt joined us in that prayer time. And Kathy's a hard one to get to know to begin with, but God really worked on me with her, and I love that woman. And I know what she's going through now, because she's fixing to lose her husband. And Friday morning we were talking a lot about that as we were leaving, and it really got to me, because it brought back all those memories of losing my husband. So when I left that prayer time Friday morning, I had shed a lot of tears before I left, and I was shedding them as I went down the road. And I had to stop at the Dollar General and pick up a couple of cards. And I turned around, and there was Betty Ford. It was like God was saying to me, Beverly, there's somebody that can help you. And we put our arms around each other, and God, I know God put her there for me. So it's not just monetary things that God returns things to us. If we will give of ourselves, he gives completely to us. And through the people in this church, I have received more blessings than I can begin to express. So I really think Brother Tom came up short with his message this morning. We need to not tithe at just the beginning. That's just the very beginning. You have to give. He wants all of us. He gave everything for me. I owe him everything, so I need to give it all back to him. Yeah. And you can't outgive God. I'm telling you, you can't outgive him. He just multiplies it tenfold.
Yeah, amen. You tell him that. The winning side, this battle is won and done. They just don't know it yet. Well, thank God. It's terrific. Well, tonight, as you know, Brother Chad Phillips, Linda, his sweet wife, and their children are here with us at Crooked Creek. They have been far away since we've seen them. And for Linda, it's kind of like a return back to home. But Chad, it was a little bit different for him. He has been over there and has learned a lot. And so we're excited about him coming back and sharing. I want to make sure, Chad, y'all bring some more of your new prayer cards. You got some of those? Get a copy of that prayer card, and I tell you, it's worth it. This is a $25 prayer card just to get Linda's smile on that prayer card. I just think that's the greatest smile God has given. It light up a room with that thing. And so just make sure you get the prayer card. Put it right in the center of your refrigerator and just enjoy it and pray for them every day. Well, they have just really, first term out on the mission field. I mean, if you can keep from shooting yourself, I mean, it's just a real good thing. Difficult time, challenging, culture shock, all that stuff. And so, but anyway, I think Brother Chad's come through it. Been a lot of surprises in it, I think. And I've asked him just to come and share with us. And just, I started to say let his hair down. Too late for that, though. It's already let down. And, but... he's going to come. Just relax, Brother Chad. You share, show your DVD or whatever, and you've got this service from here on. If you'll get, let us have it back at the end so we can make a few final announcements. But you come, and you got it, buddy. Your invitation, the whole schmeal, all right? Welcome back, brother.
Bless you. Amen. Well, I just want to tell y'all that we love Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and God's given us some wonderful supporting churches, and I tell you, when we come back, we really feel like we're coming back to family and friends, and we just love you so much. And when I think of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, the dear sister that just gave a wonderful testimony about giving, and that giving characterizes this church. You've faithfully given to allow us to be on the mission field. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank, there's been several things. I remember Miss Elizabeth, she gave me a book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and that has just blessed my life. If I start naming things, Brother Charles Henry gave me some deer meat. I'm serious. I remember back in 2009, we came and we were in the missions conference. It was October 2009. This was maybe our fourth or fifth meeting on deputation. Hard to believe that's been going on 4 years ago. That we came here for the first time. But we had lunch with them, I believe it was on Sunday afternoon, and they had venison, and I told him that my father-in-law, who lives in California, loves deer meat. And so he arranged for it. I don't even think we asked him to do it, but he arranged for it he gave us some deer meat, and we put it in some dry ice and shipped it out to California. And Brother Bill, is that your name, Brother? Brother Bill has given me books. And all of you have given us your friendship, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for your love and for your prayers for our family. This is a special place, and we're so excited to be back, and we love you. We're going to show a video here in just a minute, and I wanted to kind of clarify a couple of things before we go into the video. You're going to see some at the very beginning. You're going to hear some kind of strange music. It's actually a Cambodian lady singing a traditional funeral dirge, and so that's what that is. And you're going to see some images, and I just wanted to, for those of you who may not understand what has happened in Cambodia over the past few decades, about 30 years ago there was a genocide there, and 3 million people died at the hands of their own communist government. They called that time the killing fields. And you're going to see a verse, Psalm 74:20, which I believe is a perfect description of Cambodia. It says this: "Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." And that's Cambodia. And so that you'll see that verse, and you'll see some images that have to do with that time of Cambodia's history. And you say, why are you still talking about it 30 years later? Well, because you see, if you don't understand what happened then, you really have a hard time understanding the people today. Because if you meet anybody age, 35 and up, actually probably age 40 and up, you're talking to people who still remember. They survived that time and they still remember. And the Cambodian people, I almost laugh when I read I've read some travel magazines before, and people have, they take 1 week and they go to Cambodia and they say, oh, the Cambodian people are just the most serene, peaceful people in the world. And, from on the exterior, it looks that way. They're really good at putting on a smile and that kind of thing. It's kind of funny. This is just kind of an insider story here. Do you want to hear it? It cracks me up when you go to the airport. There's these guys that, there'll be a lot of Cambodian guys. They're not working at the airport or anything. They just come, and it's a way for them to make some extra money. And they'll come and a lot of the foreigners to give a $5 bill to somebody who helps take your luggage. That's for a lot of us, that's nothing. But for a Cambodian, that's about a day's wage right there. $5. That's 20,000 riel. The name of their currency is riel. It's 20,000 Cambodian riel, and that's a lot of money. And so, I've seen it to where, a foreigner will give a $5 bill and the person they'll say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then the foreigner leaves and they say, that, what a gullible guy. He just gave me $5. That loser gave me $5. And then, oh, they don't realize what's going on. So a lot of times, I read in travel magazines how, and let me tell you, I'm not trying to down the Cambodian people. So there are some real sweet Cambodian people that I've met. But I want to tell you, underneath the exterior smile, in many of them, there is anger and bitterness and hatred that boils in their heart. And they're really good at putting on a front. And a lot of that anger comes from what they've experienced back then, back in the mid-70s, during the killing fields. And the fact that it's such a corrupt country where justice is almost a joke. You know, I know we here in America sometimes we get critical of police officers and that kind of thing. I want to tell you something. You know, at least my view, when I come to America and I see a police officer, I'm comforted because I know that that person's there to protect and to serve. Okay? It's not necessarily that way when you see a police officer in Cambodia. Corruption is so horrible. They don't trust the police. They don't trust the government workers. They live at so much of a higher level of living standard than the average Cambodian, and they run people over. They walk on top of them. The government people are called the big people. Nek Tom means big people. Everybody else, which is 95% of the population, are called the Nek Doi, little people. And that's how the society works. If you're big, if you've got money, you've got power, they don't say, how can I use this money, this power to help people? They just walk all over people. And when you're dealing with a society where most of the population is living under that kind of, in that injustice, that corruption, and that basically tyranny, the Prime Minister Hun Sen has been in power since 1985, 1986, He'll always be in power until he dies. He's a tyrant. And people live with that frustration and that anger. And that's really the truth about the situation in Cambodia. Pastor asked me to get up and speak a little bit about the Cambodian people. And I'm just going to be honest with you tonight, okay? I wish I could get up and tell you that when we got there, there were just people waiting on us and people saying, what do I have to do to be saved? I mean, please teach me about Jesus. I'm sorry, that just has not been the case in my experience. That hasn't been the case. When we give the gospel, we go there and we want to give the pure. We don't want to sugarcoat it. We don't want to use a lot of things just to get people to come and have a big number. We go out and we preach Christ. That's what we want to use. We want to convince them by our words and with the Word of God about the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we're all sinners, that we're helpless and we're hopeless apart from Christ. We have no hope, which goes directly, it's absolutely opposed to everything that every Cambodian has ever been taught from the time they were old enough to understand a word. This is the phrase that every Cambodian is taught. Kluon thipung kluon. It means depend on yourself. Depend on yourself. That's absolutely diametrically opposed to the gospel, because the gospel says you can't depend upon yourself. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You can't be good enough. You can't give to the monks enough. You can't give to the temple enough to earn your salvation. And when we go there, and I'm just going to be honest with you, a lot of times they'll sit with me and they'll talk with me because they want to hear an American speak their language. And so many times I've gone back the second time to follow up with them, and the novelty is gone. The newness of it is gone, and they give you the coldest shoulder you could imagine. And this is why. Because they view me as an intruder into their culture, as an intruder into their society. They're very protective of their culture. They're very protective. And so much of their culture is wrapped up in Buddhism and animism and spirit worship and demon worship and ancestor worship. And they just flat out reject you. But I thank God that He's given us His grace. There's been times where it was stressful, but I thank God that He gives us the grace that we need to be there. And I want to tell you something: we love our life there. We love it. We're going back in May. We got back to the States back in December. We'll be going back in May, about a 6-month furlough. When we go back, we're planning on staying for at least 3 years, probably 4 years. We're just so excited. We're so excited about what God's doing. I'm going to give you just a brief explanation about what God's done, and then we'll get the video up there. The video pretty much speaks for itself. But a few months ago, probably 6 or 7 months ago, a missionary, his name is Ray Shaw. He has been in Cambodia for going on, I think, 9 years now. And he's getting up in years. I'm not going to give you his age because it would kind of touch on some of you probably the same age as him, and I don't want you to know how old he is when I say that he's getting older. But he's getting a little bit older, and he feels like he's done everything he could in Cambodia. He feels like he's done what God's called him to do, and he's going to be coming back to the States. He'll probably end up pastoring in California somewhere. But he came to me a few months ago, and he said he planted a church in a small city. The city is called Thai Khmer. It literally means dark grandfather. Dark-skinned grandfather is what the name of the city means. And the church is called Liberty Baptist Church. Krom Jom Nom Baptist Sere Piep. Liberty Baptist Church. It's about 25 to 30 people. Half of the members of the church are age 18 or younger. They come on their bikes. Some of them, we go pick them up in what's called a tuk-tuk. You'll see what a tuk-tuk is here in a minute. Some of them walk. We have, in the church, there are four families that come as a mom, dad, with the children. Four families. The rest come, they're teenagers, they come by themselves. In the church, we don't have one church member that owns a car. We've got several that own a little moto, but nobody owns a car. It's a poor... Physically speaking, financially speaking, it's a poor church. But they're some of the sweetest people in the world. They love the Lord with all their hearts. Brother Shoal, he asked me several months ago, would you pray about coming and taking over the church, taking it and continuing the ministry there? There are two Cambodian men there, and Brother Shoal feels like they still need to be just exposed to some more training and that kind of thing. And we're going to be working. I look at it, I am going to be... for lack of a better term, pastoring the work. That's our plan right now. I'm not sure what the future holds for us, but I know that in this next term, I have a vision. There are literally areas within 10 minutes drive that are just packed with people that don't have churches yet. And my prayer is that with three of us, there's myself, there's Lokru Pro. Lokru means teacher or pastor. Lokru Pro and Lokru To. Lokru To should be easier to remember his name. Lokru To. Both of these men are godly men. They're both married with children, and with the three of us, God's given us an opportunity that we can use our time, we can split up our time and our energy to not only continue to reach Thai Khmer with the gospel, but also to go into some of these surrounding areas that don't have churches yet that need a church. And so that's what our vision is for this next term. And If the video's ready, we can go ahead and start that up, Brother Busey. Okay. Oh. Cambodia is a spiritually dark place. Sometimes the darkness is overwhelming. Lord, help us to be a bright light in this place so that the Cambodian people can have spiritual life in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Cambodia is known as the killing fields. Lord, please use us in such a way so that Cambodia can be called the living fields. Because of the life that comes from you.
Our Shining the Light here in Cambodia began in March of 2011. We came here and we worked with the Benefield family. Brother Stephen Benefield was the first missionary that I ever came in contact with here in Cambodia. Back in 2006 when I came on my first survey trip, back before I was married, and he's been a good godly friend to me ever since that time, and I thank God for the opportunity that we had to work with him and his family. We thank God for the wisdom that we were able to glean from them. Our time with them was shorter than we expected. We originally thought we would be with them for about 2 to 3 years. Just a few months after being here in Cambodia, we had to take a trip to Thailand for Linda to give birth to our third child, and we ended up being in Thailand a lot longer than we thought we would be. And when we returned from Thailand, the Benefields very quickly left to take their furlough, and they were gone for 10 months. I had the opportunity while Brother Benefield was away to work with some of the faithful members in the church there at Good News Baptist Church there in Phnom Penh in leading the ministry during the time that Brother Benefield was away on furlough. And to be honest with you, that was a challenging time, just to be here on our first term and to not be with the veteran missionary family that we had come to work with. But it was a time that I know for a fact, I believe with all my heart, that God ordained that, because while it was a challenging time, it was a growing time. And probably the biggest challenge that we faced immediately was just the language. Even though I had some experience in the language before coming to Cambodia, I very quickly realized that I still had a long way to go. So I immediately hired a young man in our church named Han. He would come to my house Monday through Friday for 3 to 4 hours a day, and we would learn Khmer through a variety of different methods. Sometimes we would just sit and just talk in Khmer for 2 or 3 hours, just have conversations. I thank God for the time that I had to learn Khmer from Han. It was a great experience. It wasn't just a classroom experience. Han wasn't just my teacher. He was a member of the church. We became good friends during that time. And there were times that we would be out soul winning or just out and about, but it was a great experience to be able to have that way of learning Khmer with Han. I'm not the only person in my family who's doing language school. Ellie and Judson are studying Khmer as well. Every day, Monday through Friday, we have a lady named Thierry from another good Bible-believing Baptist church here in Cambodia. She comes over and she teaches Ellie and Judson Khmer for 1 hour every day. The next big challenge that we faced during that time when the Benefields were away on furlough was taking what I learned in my Khmer language study and applying it to everyday ministry experiences, especially preaching. But I thank God for the hundreds of preaching opportunities I had while the Benefields were away. I thank God for the opportunities in the village ministry every Saturday, teaching Sunday school, preaching the morning services. It was just a real blessing to have those opportunities to take what I was learning in Khmer language school and apply it to everyday ministry experiences. Aside from preaching, obviously another major part of the missionary's ministry is working with people individually. And I want to thank God for the opportunity that God gave us to have a small part in several people coming to Christ as their personal Savior. I thank God that we were a tool in God's hand to bring some of these people like Rani, Sreemot, Srelet, people that before did not know God, but I thank God that He used us and others to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the opportunities that we had to work with new believers, people who were already saved before we came, people who were young Christians, like Dolai, Han, Ratanai. And I thank God for the opportunities that we had to just to spend time with them and to go soul winning with them and to go do the village ministry with them every Saturday. We had lots of time to spend with them, and I thank God that God allowed us to be a blessing to them. And to be honest with you, we weren't only a blessing to them, but they were really a huge blessing to us as well. Shortly after the Benefields returned from their furlough, God led us down an unexpected path to work in a small church that was in need of leadership in the city of Thái Mai. It's a city of about 70,000 people, 20 minutes south of the capital of Phnom Penh. Like 95% of Cambodia, the people in Thái Mai follow a mixture of Buddhism and animism. And it's interesting, Thái Mai comes from the name of the spirit that the people here believe protects the city. And every day, people go to the main statue of Thái Mai, which is in the heart of the city, and they burn incense to the statue, they bring offerings to the statue. And it's not that they have a personal relationship and a love-based relationship with this spirit. They fear the spirit. If they don't bring, they believe that if they don't bring incense, if they don't bring offerings, then the spirit will not bring them good luck. The spirit will even bring a curse to them. And it's honestly, it's sad to see the people living like that. We want to come here and teach them the truth. We want to tell them about the wonderful love of Christ. And we want to tell them that they can have a personal, loving relationship, a father-child relationship with the God who created them. And we want to tell them about the way that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm really looking forward to working alongside Le Cru Tho and Le Cru Pro. Le Cru Tho was led to Christ by Stephen Benefield, and he was really discipled by Brother Ray Shaw. Tho is a tuk-tuk driver who makes about $10 to $15 a day, basically enough to pay his rent and feed his family. Yet he takes the time to do the work of the ministry, even if it means missing a rider on his tuk-tuk. In fact, just a couple of years ago, God led Tho, with the help of Brother Ray Shaw, to begin a church, to start a church in his home village. And I'm looking forward to working with him. We go out there twice a week to his home village, and I'm looking forward to working with him and assisting him continuing to work in that church and to disciple the believers there. God's just really done an amazing work through him. Le Cru Pro, he was led to Christ by a missionary named John Kinderdine, but he was really discipled by Brother Rodney Rupel. I thank God for Pro. Pro works, he's going to be working with me full time. We have a wonderful friendship. We've been able to get to know each other over the past several months. You know, between Tho and Pro and myself, we really have a wonderful team. We pray for each other. We encourage one another. We go soul winning with each other. You know, I really love these guys. I love Tho and Pro. They're both godly, faithful men. They're both married with children. We have a phenomenal opportunity to reach Thái Mai with the gospel. And we also have an awesome opportunity to go to the surrounding villages. There's literally hundreds of villages within half an hour of this city. And with us being able to divide up the responsibilities of teaching and preaching, not just one person has all the responsibility of preparing messages. We can divide that amongst ourselves. And that's really going to free up time to go out and start other works in different areas and in surrounding villages. So I just really thank God that He has, in His providence, He's led us together to have this wonderful opportunity to work together as a team. Lord, thank You for working in our lives. Thank You for saving us and for calling us to shine the light of Your gospel here in Cambodia. Lord, keep our hearts pure and tender before Thee so that we can shine brightly here, so that Your name will be glorified.
hope that gives you an idea of what God's been doing in our lives over the past couple of years, and we thank Him for His grace. And I wanted to read you just real quickly a quote out of a book that I'm reading through, about halfway through it. It's the book Go Forth of China. It's about I don't know if anybody's read about Jonathan Goforth, but in right before one of the chapters, there's a quote by a lady named Mrs. Whitfield Guinness. I have no idea who that was, but it's a great quote. And this is what it says: "A great without has been written on heathenism. Men and women are toiling without a Bible, without a Sunday, without prayer, without songs of praise. They have rulers without justice and without righteousness, homes without peace, marriage without sanctity, young men and girls without ideals and enthusiasm, little children without purity, without innocence, mothers without wisdom or self-control, poverty without relief or sympathy, sickness without skillful help or tender care, sorrow and crime without a remedy, and worst of all, death without hope." And I want God to use our family to be a light in Cambodia. It's a spiritually dark place, as I've tried to present to you tonight. And I just want to give you one verse real tonight. I'm not gonna preach. Our time is just about gone tonight. If you would just open real quickly, I may have given this to you when I was here a couple of years ago, but it's a verse that has been with me since the first time I went to Cambodia back in 2006. And it's 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. And I think it would help if we started in verse number 7 and just read all the way up to verse number 17. It kind of helps get the whole picture in there. 1 John chapter 4, let's start in verse number 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." I just want to stop right here. This is not talking about the love that all of us are capable in, that the love we have for our children, the love that we have for family, the love that we have for friends, the love that we have for people who love us. This is speaking of a love that can only come from God. What does the Bible say? Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." That is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. That is speaking of characteristics that only come from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of our efforts to be good people. That's not what it's talking about. Now, if we can love on our own, I believe that there's many unsaved people that love their children, but their love has a limit. And through the Holy Spirit, we can love according to the love that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. Real quickly, look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This is not preaching, okay? I told you I'm not going to preach, and this is not preaching. So don't think I'm preaching up here, okay? All we're doing is opening the Bible and explaining it. That's all I'm doing. Romans 5:5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The love of who? The love of God is what is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This is a love that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Back to 1 John chapter 4. I just want to make sure we understand what is this love that the Bible is speaking of in this passage. Verse number 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." There it is again. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Verse number 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And verse number 17, here it is. If I had a life verse, this is it right here. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's a powerful statement right there. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And our prayer is that we can, Linda and I and our children, can live out our days on this earth so that we can be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and be a light in the country of Cambodia. All for the glory of God. What does the Bible say? I believe it's in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is. Verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back. Right? No. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. We want to glorify the Lord with our lives. Pray for us. Pray for us that we can do that. And I want to tell you, we love you so much. We thank you for being one of our supporting churches. Thank you for your love and your prayers for our family. In the back, we have a little display set up. There's some pictures you can look at. I've got some books in English that deal with the country of Cambodia. There's one that talks about, you can open it up and just kind of glimpse through it. It talks about folk Buddhism in Southeast Asia. You can kind of, if you pick it up and turn to the part that talks about Cambodia, in about 3 minutes you can learn a little bit about what they really believe. There's a book back there that I picked up from a high school that was turned into a place of execution from 1977 to 1979. And in that prison, I don't know if you remember in the video, there was a picture of a Cambodian man standing with his back to the camera, and in front of him he was looking at a wall of skulls. Does anybody remember seeing that? That was my language teacher, Han. That was the first time in his life that he had ever visited that place. It's now a national museum. It's called Tuol Slang. It was a high school that the Khmer Rouge, the communist regime, they took that high school, and in 2 years they used that to torture and execute 17,000 men, women, and children. Seven people survived. Two of those survivors are still alive today. The other five have already passed away. And I have a book back there that's signed by one of the two survivors. I met him that day that we went. And there's also a picture that I have taken with him. And I also have the book that he signed. You can go take a look at that. There's a book back there that has Cambodian proverbs. And that's pretty interesting to look at as well. And we have some books that I've brought from Cambodia that we use. It's basically literature that we use to carry out the ministry. There's a book back there called Tanet Skwapra Angrute, which means Do You Know God? And that's the book that we use to take people. It's kind of just a help book that we use with the Bible to help people understand the gospel. We always give a very thorough presentation of the gospel. Sometimes it takes weeks and weeks and weeks of teaching people that there's one God, that He's eternal, that He has three persons. I mean, just all the foundational things that we take for granted. We have to make sure they understand those things when we teach the gospel to them. And so I would encourage you to come back, grab a prayer card, take a look at some of the stuff we have back there, and we just want to thank you again, Pastor Miles.